The Lord be with you.
And
with a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
It is still Easter Day, you know. Don't ask me to explain it. It's Catholic arithmetic. Where do you suppose Thomas was on the first evening following Christ's resurrection? The first scene of Christ's appearance here in John's Gospel. It was the third day since Jesus died on the cross. Surely Thomas would have had time to make it to the appointed place. I don't know. Eleanor Stump is a very distinguished professor of philosophy at St. Louis University, a fine Jesuit institution. And she has a really interesting conjecture about Thomas's absence that first night. She suggests that it might have been Thomas gone not because he was even more afraid than the others, but rather his absence is a result of how deeply he had loved and trusted Jesus before the crucifixion. The depth of this trust, she writes, can be understood by the way Thomas hardened his heart against trust in the aftermath. I'm willing to bet an enormous amount of Father Chris's money that all of us have had at least one moment where a person or an institution or just life itself has so profoundly failed to meet our expectations, crushed our dreams so much that we were left absolutely brokenhearted. If you're too young to have a moment like that, hang on, it's coming. When our dreams and expectations are truly dear to us, held in the closest part of our heart, when we see evidence that they're not going to be fulfilled, it is a heartbreak that seems to have no end, no bottom. Huh? Those are the times when we need some time. Time to let the pain diminish, even though it often seems like it just keeps growing. Time to let the Holy Spirit accompany us through the night until we can begin to see at least some hint of new light. When the others tell Thomas of their encounter with the risen Christ, he scoffs. He isn't ready to risk another disappointment of such depth and darkness. Ever felt like that? I know I have. It isn't the end, or at least it shouldn't be. It's a step in the process of healing. Thomas is at a point of resisting the comfort and companionship of his own community. He's avoiding direct contact with that lost dream. So it takes a week for Thomas to rejoin the company of Jesus' disciples. He's at least able to show up now, and that's another step toward regaining trust. Jesus enters the second gathering just as he entered the first, proclaiming peace. He doesn't ask, as I might have asked in a similar sort of situation, "Hey, where were you guys? I was having kind of a rough Friday. Could have used some help." He didn't do that on the first night, and he doesn't do it to Thomas. When the risen Christ invites Thomas to test the new reality of this resurrection, Thomas just ceases to resist the good news. He becomes the first, as Father Chris said, to proclaim, "My Lord and my God." Now, Thomas has not had more of an experience of the risen Christ than the others who had it a week earlier and were still locked away. He's not had more. He's had the same experience. The text does not tell us that Thomas put his finger into the nail holes, put his hand into Jesus' side. And by that omission, I think John is telling us he didn't do that. Thomas has seen and encountered the risen Christ. And with his statement of faith in the divinity of Christ, he becomes the first really evangelical of the apostles. If you are right now in a place of darkness or brokenheartedness, I invite you to look at the joyful healing that takes place in Thomas. If we take Professor Stump's approach, we can see Thomas doing three simple things. Difficult, but simple. First, he lets the heartbreak have the time it demands. Second, he reconnects with his community. And finally, he stops resisting the truth that awaits only his willingness to see it. Jesus brought his frightened, huddled together community peace and forgiveness. He charged them, and he charges us to be faithful bearers of that peace and forgiveness to the world. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. I want to suggest to you simply this. To the extent that we take that task seriously, we will be brought out of our fear and will be brought out of our heartbreak and will be sustained in the peace of Christ.